Hello, beautiful people. Good morning. It's 7 a.m. and it's raining, and I'm so happy. I don't know. I want to be happy. I feel like that's more apt than saying I'm so happy. But regardless, the rain always makes me very happy. Right now, I wish I was in Kaduna. I mean, it's too early for me to go to my favorite cafe at this time, 7 a.m. However, I don't know, there's something about the rain. I'm being on your own bed. It's very nice. And I like here because like I'm upstairs, so it gives it a different vibe. I don't know if you guys can hear me. Recently I found that my microphone used to, like, I'm not that audible. I apologize. I don't know what's happening because I'm actually using a microphone. But anyways, it's raining. It rained throughout the night and I really slept well, but I had like some like chronic illness related pain. So I had to like get up and gear up and take some medication and whatnot. But it's raining this morning. It's beautiful. It's dark, the perfect dark. I just want to like close my windows, maybe leave just a little bit open, close my doors, put up my lights, play me some Zenia. This is Zevia. Zevia. Orlando de Rey. Some sad songs. I feel like it's the best way I want to spend today. But I have to travel. I'm traveling. I'm going to Ilorin. I hope the rain lets up because I really don't like traveling by road in the rain. There's just something about drowning that I'm not particularly fond of. But yeah, like I have catarrh in my ear and nose and throat is already giving me hair. I don't want to drown. So yeah, I'm planning to go to Ilorin today. Maybe I will end up going like this as early as I would have loved because of the rain. But let's see what God do, you know? Anyways, welcome back to another episode of Amazing Fertile Nigerian Girl. I don't know if I said that before. Today, because of the weather and the way I feel very like, I don't know, something has been happening to me since I came to this place. And I... I said that I'm not going to cut anything while I'm here. I'm not going to edit my podcast episodes while I'm here. I am just going to maybe cut it out. So I had to go. My grandma called me, so I had to go. But anyways, I was saying that I feel like this place is doing something to me that I don't know if. You know, you travel somewhere and you want to like offload your emotions. I don't know if you guys do it. People travel for clarity. I feel like this was one of those trips for me. It was like for clarity. The intention of this trip started out like, okay, I'm going to go here. I'm going to figure out my life, sort out stuff I need to sort out, and then I'll come back. But then on my trip here, different other things just bubbled to the surface, and I don't know. I feel like something triggered me. It's either that or. I don't know, but I feel very triggered. I feel like I had a trigger and I don't even realize what the trigger was. And all my emotions started like bubbling up and now I'm just like spiraling out of control. Which is making me feel like I want to go home, not because I really want to go home, but I feel like if I leave this place, my real emotions might finally align. Or I would have figured, I don't know what it is, but I don't know that I love what is happening to me mentally. It's not anything bad, it's not depression. Well, there's depression, but it's not that. It's just, I don't want to go into it, shasha, for something like that. So anyways, I'm getting a little breeze, a little cut in this recording, I'm sorry you guys. Anyways, I was saying how like, the way the vibe is today, I want to do something different. So I want to read you guys 16 quotes I found that apparently very sad from books. Now, today my vibe for today is giving Minaret by Leila Abu Leila. I might be a weird person, of course I'm weird, but I don't know if I'm the only one that does this. Every day has a theme, kind of, and every day has a song, kind of. Even if I didn't start out like pointing it out in the beginning of the day, by the middle of the day, I kind of attach an emotion to the day. The way the day is going, it gives me a vibe, a particular song in my head or a particular theme. And today is giving me minarets. I feel like recently I've been talking a lot about my chronic illness, so it's making me to remember quite a lot of like memories from that time or those times that, you know, I was my worst periods. And oh my god, I just remember something very sad. And I feel like I have internalized this thing for such a long time. I won't say that I don't believe it. It's really sad though. I don't know if I want to, if I should share this, but I feel like, I genuinely feel like saying it out loud would make me feel a bit better. Because when you don't speak, when you internalize, I don't know, I can't say when you, but when I internalize stuff, when I don't let it out, when I don't express myself, it feels very suffocating. It feels very overwhelming. I feel like I internalized those things more when I never ever said them out. So I'm going to be saying it out maybe somewhere in the middle of this podcast. So anyways, it's giving me minarets. There was one time pre-COVID, not quite lockdown, before lockdown, pre-COVID, I was very sick and I was admitted. So I was in the hospital, and before that time, God, I was so naive. I'm saying that because, like, what was I thinking to have? I used to have a book club that I ran with my sister. I don't know what I was thinking to. I was so bossy. Oh my god, I apologize to you guys. I don't know if any of you guys will ever listen to this podcast, if you ever come across this podcast. But if you do and you were ever in a book club with me, Hikma, I apologize because I was such a bitch. I'm sorry. There was no any other word. Now that I am working and I have a very busy life and a very, very busy schedule, I'm so busy to the point that I have a PA. Well, not a PA, but I have like a social media manager because I cannot. Like, I'm so busy and so like occupied. And I'm just imagining if I was in that time and somebody was acting a fool, like, the way I was acting a fool to them guys, I would have been so like, what, do you not have a job? But I guess it was lockdown and I do really have a job then. And honestly, to be fair, the people that were in the book club too were all jobless, kind of. Most of us were jobless. I feel like I didn't really have a job then. I didn't really have things going on for me then. So, and I was very bored. So I did this book club and I basically bullied people into reading. I basically bullied people into reading a book in 2 weeks. Oh, I'm just imagining somebody come to me now and they're like, oh, you have to read a book in 2 weeks. What do you, who do you think you are? I'm so busy. Honestly, but my business, how busy I am, would not push me to like listen to an audiobook necessarily. But I was a bitch. But it was a fun book club, I'm not going to lie. Then it was nice. Some people participated, some didn't. The non-participation really pissed me off because I took it so deep. And now I'm just thinking back and I was like, it's not even that deep. I mean, it's deep, I'll be pissed if you didn't read the book, because I can be quite passionate when it comes to books. And especially when we committed to a book club where we're supposed to read a book in 2 weeks. But anyway, yeah, God, I was a nightmare. I made this, I can't remember the website now, but I made a poll on the website. And what will happen is, when I make the poll, everybody is supposed to go to the website and I would select 4 books. So majority wins. The book with the most like votes get selected, you know. So it was really fun, I'm not going to lie. It was, because even it was very fair, because it wasn't like, oh, me just selecting a book that I've already read. Most of the books that I didn't read, and to be fair, like I was even doing something illegal, because I had over like 500 books, PDF and EPUB, and those are the books. So I would, except if you want to buy the book, all my books are expensive. Do you know how much is a book library? A book is 5k now. So like, I would post it on the website and everybody would go there, everybody would vote, and we're supposed to read. But in as much as I'm very busy and I cannot understand how I managed to bully people to read a book in 2 weeks, I don't think I can be in a book club that reads, I don't think I can be in a book club that reads a chapter per week or a chapter in 2 weeks. Those kind of book clubs, I don't know if I can do that, because why? What is a chapter? That's like, what exactly? That's a prayer. Like, that's just the epilogue. A chapter is what I read in 2 minutes. Like, what? It's too small for me. But a book, honestly, my schedule now is too big. Except, you know, and I might be speaking for myself, but I feel like, as much as I'm an avid reader, I have times where I have blocks and I don't want to read any lines. Like, I can't even be bothered to read your comments if it has more than 4 lines. You know those people that are writing essays on social media? I don't read it because ain't nobody got time for that. I'll get somebody else to do it. Honestly, I have those times where I don't want to read anything, even a prescription, like even a line of text message. Just send me a voice note or call me. I don't want to read. But then there are times I crave words, but I don't want to think. You know, there's a book that is like that. Those Harley Quinn, those romance books, they are very surface level. Don't really engage or stimulate your mind. I mean, it could be stimulating you any other way, some other way, but it doesn't stimulate your mind. You just read it to read, you know. So them ones, I don't have a problem with reading when I feel like I crave words, but I don't really want to use my brain. They're quite basic, no? So I just read those ones. But on times where I feel like, oh my god, this book is so like mad, I opt to read like good books, like good authors. So anyways, that's that about that and my reading this thing. Oh, this is totally sidebar. Whoever finished Madame Koto? I'm sure that's not the name of the book. Famished Road by Ben Okri. Oh my god. Oh my god. I have never come across the person that finished that book. This guy is talented. Okay, I'm getting too passionate. Let's leave that for another episode when I come and what do you call it? Break down that book for you guys. Random as well. As you can tell, I'm a very random person. What do you people think about doing like a read with me? I feel like I have the voice for it. This is me big upping myself. I feel like I have the voice for it, and I feel like reading a book with you guys, maybe once a week on a particular day. Also, it's good that I wouldn't have to use my brain to come up with content for you guys. It's just to read the book. We pick a book and I basically read it. And I'm not able to tell you guys to pick a book because I know people don't be listening to me. You people listen to me. I actually see my insights. I have listeners. For some reason, if you don't like me so much yet, I'll say yes, because you guys are going to come to falling up with me. But you guys don't ever respond to me, so I'm just going to pick a book, a very nice book. I don't know what genre. Maybe I should do the Ben Okri. Maybe it will get me to finally finish it, because I can't. Oh, that's nice. I'm actually doing Ben Okri. Famished Road. That's if I don't scare myself out of it. But we come together once a week and I read you guys Famished Road for an hour. And I go, yeah, think about it. So anyways, let's go into the item of the day, which is me reading to you guys 16 quotes that would totally shatter your heart. So this is a list I just got off of the internet, the intergoogle. It's from a website called BookBob. Oh, sounds like one website Farida and me used to get like free books from. BookBob. Yeah, no? Farida, isn't it? BookBob. You get like free books sent to you by email. Oh my god, there was one book that Farida was reading in law school. Her husband's hole or something. Her husband's harlot. Oh my god, that book was something else. But anyways, let's get into it. 16 of the saddest quotes from books by Cameron Nessa. This was published on September 10, 2020. This is just like me. The lawyer in me just wanted to give you guys some footnotes. Number one, Claire, he said quietly, tomorrow I will die. This child is all that will be left of me, ever. I ask ye, Claire, I beg you, see it safe. I stood still, vision blurring, and in that moment I heard my heart break. It was a small, clean sound, like the snapping of a flower stem. This is from Diana Gabaldon, Dragonfly in Amber. Oh, I feel sad. Now I want context, because he said he gonna die. Tomorrow I will die.
That's quite sad, actually. Number two, I know so many last words, but I will never know hers. Oh, this is really sad, actually. My heart just like sank.
I don't have context, but now I'm tempted to read the book because I want to know what happened. Why wouldn't you ever know her? Did you like break up or something? I know so many last words, but I'll never know her. It's giving lovers that can't be together for whatever reason. It's giving I miss my train to be there for you last your final moments. This is by John Green in Looking for Alaska. Did she get missing? No, so I want to know what happened. If you guys have read it, can you let me know? Number three, don't ever tell anybody anything. If you do, you start missing everybody. J.D. Salinger in The Catcher in the Rye. Don't ever tell anybody anything. If you do, you start missing everybody. Why? Because you remember those memories. I remember the people you told. It's giving me Islamically how you're not supposed to tell people your bad dreams. But I don't have context. But it's sad for me reading it just because it feels like, you know, when somebody has been hurt so much that they can't trust the world again. Yeah, that's what it's giving. Number four, the heart dies a slow death, shedding each hope like leaves, until one day there are none, no hopes, nothing remains. Arthur Golden from Memoirs of a Geisha. The heart dies a slow death, shedding each hope like leaves, until one day there are none, no hopes, nothing remains. I don't have context, but it's giving me how in life we have so many dreams. I remember, like, growing up, I had so many dreams. I had so many things I wanted to accomplish by a certain age. You know, so many things I wanted to have by a certain age, and just things I wanted to do, and people I wanted to meet, and places I want to go. And because life is just fleeting and flickering, and it's never certain, and you know how God plans, and God is the master planner and whatnot. You can wish, but God already knows, like, gather and whatnot. I have not been able to accomplish quite a lot of things on my list, and some of those things are quite time sensitive, I feel like. So there'll be times that would pass, and that would be the end of that dream somehow. And that is very sad, because now when I look back at things I wish I have, things I wish I've done as well, I can't never really go back to before, you know? And those things will not come to pass, because I've passed that place. And sometimes it's quite sad when you think about it. Number five, if you have a sister and she dies, do you stop saying you have one? Or are you always a sister, even when the other half of the equation is gone? Jodi Picoult, My Sister's Keeper. Now, I don't know if it's the My Sister's Keeper I know. You know, the one where the girl had cancer. I believe she had leukemia or something. And they were looking for a donor transplant of bone marrow, I believe. But there was none. There wasn't anyone that was a match for her. So her parents had to conceive another child and raise another child just to be a match for her sister. And honestly, I feel like that movie, while I never finished, I kind of just know, like, what it's about. It was very sad if you think about it, because it's sad for the sister who's sick, because she has to live with the guilt of knowing that her junior sister has to go through pain and whatnot just to give, like, she was brought to this life to give her life. And it's also sad for the sister who was born, because it feels as if she was just born to do a job, you know, without her parents' love. They just see her as, okay, you are here to preserve our first child's, like, life, which is really sad. But if you have a sister and she dies, you don't stop being her sister. I mean, if anybody asks you, do you have a sister? You just say, yes, I did. You smile fondly at the remembrance of your sister and the memories you shared. And you smile eventually and you say, I did, but she died. And I know it will leave you with, you know, a very sad, empty feeling depending on the relationship you had. But ultimately, you can't ever not have had a sister. She just died. Number six, the pleasure of remembering had been taken from me because there was no longer anyone to remember with. It felt like losing your co-rememberer meant losing the memory itself. As if the things we'd done were less real and important than they had been hours before. The pleasure of remembering had been taken from me because there was no longer anyone to remember with. It felt like losing your co-rememberer meant losing the memory itself, as if the things we'd done were less real and important than they had been hours before. John Green, The Fault in Our Stars. We all know The Fault in Our Stars. Should I tell you guys a weird thing? That happened to me in real life. And oh God, I don't want to cry. Today is such a day to accommodate my tears. I feel like I might actually eventually, but that happened to me. It's like a personal thing that happened to me. I used to date somebody that had the exact same chronic illness that I had, and he never told me. He never told me, and later on, I heard he died. So that movie would always mean something to me. And this happened years after watching that. I watched that when I was in uni, I believe, like first year uni. He died by the time I was in externship. So I watched the movie like how many years before? But anyways, I'm going to save my tears for later. This particular thing is really sad. This particular quote is really sad because you know how, like, when you remember something, most of the time when I have nostalgic memories that I remember, especially when it's like uni time, those memories are usually like something that I maybe experienced with a certain person or certain people, and I don't want to think of if, like, my friend was not around. Imagine me so excited to talk about the day I dragged Farida. I dragged her into town. We're looking for a gym. And when I start going to the gym, and I remember I saw a gym and I was like, oh, it's not that far. And we started walking. And you know, there are emotions, like there are different memories like this that I share with somebody. And I just don't even want to imagine a world where, like, that person that you share those memories with is not there. It kind of makes it very sad to remember. No, it dampens the whole memory, and you might not even want to remember it anymore. I'm very sad. I said it out sad, but now I'm actually very sad. This is a very sad quote. Number six, The Fault in Our Stars. Number seven, my sister will die over and over again for the rest of my life. Grief is forever. It doesn't go away. It becomes a part of you, step for step, breath for breath. I will never stop grieving Bailey because I will never stop loving her. That's just how it is. Grief and love are conjoined. You don't get one without the other. All I can do is love her and love the world. Emulate her by living with daring and spirit and joy. Jandy Nelson, The Sky is Everywhere. This is deep. This is very deep, actually. It's sad, but it's very deep, more or less. It's deep because, you know, for me, God, I'm really casting myself to deal. I think it's the rain. But for me, like, I grew up very... defensive. And it's not even just about me. I feel like, I don't know, it's probably a sign of trauma and whatnot, but sometimes you don't want to gain one because you might lose it. I don't know, it sounds like something traumatic. It sounds like a trauma response. But if you gain a lover, yeah, there's always the fear that you might lose them. whether by death or through death or breakup. And in that moment, that person is like, means the world to you. That for me, sometimes I already mourn your loss, which is very like, you know, so it kind of prevents you from wanting to live life, I know, or prevents you from having those experiences that you would have had if you let yourself go. It's giving that, it's giving, I don't want to date my friend because I might lose my friend. But what if your friend was actually the best thing that could ever happen to you and that was your destiny? You know? I mean, I'm definitely not going to do that. Been there, done that, and almost not. Imagine breaking up with somebody that you never dated. Like, what the actual... And then your friend, you don't want to lose your friend. Like, I'm not going to do that. This is easier said than done. But it's giving that emotion. But in the same vein, I feel like I agree with this quote, because forget about like love relationships and friendships and whatever. Everything gained in life is lost. You will lose your family somehow, some way, whether it's you marry and move, or somebody in your family dies, or you die. Everything in this life, if you think about it, is to enjoy it and to let it go. We're always in this cycle. It's a cycle of leave and die, which is bringing me to Lana Del Rey, Born to Die. Yeah, so this is very deep quote. Number 8, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Maya Angelou. I know why the caged bird sings. See, this particular book, I know why the caged bird sings. Some couple days ago, I saw it on Instagram, but it was under one of the top 10 banned books. And now I'm so curious because I really want to know why it was banned. Because it's Maya Angelou. But this, let's go to the quote. There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. As a creative as well, as a writer myself, I don't know the context which she said that, but like as a writer myself, I totally agree. Because you might have a lot of things. Do you know what is the worst thing? When you have a lot of things to say, but for some reason you just can't say it. The feeling is very frustratingly painful. You have a ton of shit to say, but you can't say it. It's chaotic. Number 9, I am lonely. And I am lonely in some horribly deep way. And for a flash of an instant, I can see just how lonely and how deep this feeling runs. And it scares the shit out of me to be this lonely because it seems catastrophic. Augustine Burroughs, Dry. This is something I feel in my soul. You know, sometimes loneliness is actually quite complimenting, I feel like. And it can be quite subjective as well. Sometimes you look lonely to others as well, but you really are not. You are just relishing in your peace. And there are other times where our subconscious just like attacks us and like tells us like, nigga, you are lonely. And that itself, that is very sad lonely to be. You can be with people, you can be amongst a group of people, a bunch of people that love you, and you still be alone. That is so sad. And I feel like, you know, those type of like self-aware emotions are the ones that are very like deep, because it's you struggling against yourself, but like you and yourself telling yourself that you are talking shit. You know when you try not to fall in love with somebody and you tell yourself like, I don't love him, you go outside, I'm like, I don't love him, I don't love him, but your mind inside is like, what are you saying? Bitch, you are in love. I feel like those are the weirdest, like those are the God's like wrenching sad emotions. Maybe not sad, but like, you know when you, it's yourself telling yourself like to go to hell. Somebody outside can say like, okay, you are lonely, and be like, I'm not lonely, and you genuinely in that instant believe that you're not lonely. But when you start telling yourself like, nigger, you know you are. That's actually quite sad. Let's go to number 10. Gentle reader, may you never feel what I then felt. May your eyes never shed such stormy, scalding, heart-wrung tears as poured from mine. May you never appeal to heaven in prayers so hopeless and so angst as in that hour left my lips, for never may you, like me, dread to be the instrument of evil to what you wholly love. Charlotte Brunt, Jane R. This one is heavy. Do you know how easy it is to hate what you love? I mean, it's not easy. It takes a lot to get to that point. But to totally and completely, like, hate what you love, or to be in a position where you have to bring the downfall of someone you love for whatever reason, that is worse than actual revenge. I feel like that is the revenge. That is worse than actual, like, revenge. Because, and I feel bad for the person in that position as well, because it's, I feel like you can't break them more than that. Imagine you love somebody so much and it's not be respected, reciprocated, returned, or it's just not being able to flourish, and you have to pray to God to take away the love of that person from your heart. Or imagine you love somebody so much but you can't be together, and not in a, like, nostalgic kind of, like oh we can't be together, like, poetic way, like, you really maybe are enemies or something, and you have to be, you, for some reason, you have to bring the downfall of that person that you love. You know in movies when you see somebody begging another person that, please don't let me kill him, I feel like that is death itself. Number 11, I hid my deepest feelings so well I forgot where I placed them. Amy Tan, from Saving Fish from Drowning. This is something I have so much experience in. Oh, I feel like everybody can relate to this one, Amy. Number 12, there are a lot of children in Afghanistan, but little childhood. Khalid Hussein, the kite runner. I don't think I need to explain that one. Also, the kite runner is something I've had on my to-be-read list for such a long time. Such a long time that, like, in the beginning of the year, my friend posted something about Khalid Hussein, and I commented under her caption, and I was like, oh, this book, I really want to read it. I've been pushing it. I've never, like, actually gone to read it. And somebody, a nice young man, I can't remember him now, he commented and, like, oh, you should read it. And then he actually came back after, like, 2-3 months to ask under the same quote, did I end up reading it? I actually never ended up reading it, because I just know that I'm about to be heartbroken. In my experience as a reader, a Muslim black woman, there are types of books that I have to have a mind for. For some reason, when I read books like Lyrics Ali, Minaret, Leila Abulela's work, and I'm sure that Khalid Hosseini will have maybe the same impact with me, books that are wrapped around culture, that are dipped in religion, those type of books, I have to be in a certain frame of mind to be able to read them. Also, they go straight to home most of the time. You know, those books that touch my soul, I don't read them randomly. I don't know how to just randomly, on a nice beautiful day, pick up a Leila Abulela's book and just say I'm going to start reading it. Like, I've never, they don't give me that vibe. I would rather read air books. When I say air books, I'm talking about them ones that don't stimulate your mind. So, but, and honestly, another reason why I never got around to reading it, apart from the reviews, heart-wrenching reviews I've heard about the book, is also the fact that the copy I have is a phone, is like a digital copy, but it's in PDF and it's not compatible with my phone, so it's really tiny and very non, I don't really want to read it, you know. I can always convert it, but I don't know, I think I'm scared to read it because I'm scared of my heart breaking. I don't have the backbone for it. When I feel very, 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 very sad and I want to cry, probably I would come around to reading it. But I definitely want to read it before I die. Number 13. And Percy was shaking his brother, and Ron was kneeling beside them, and Fred's eyes stared without seeing, the ghost of his last laugh still etched upon his face. J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. See, when Fred died, God, there are some deaths in Harry Potter that I just can't. Sometimes, randomly on a random Tuesday, my mind goes back to those deaths, and I'm just like, what was JK thinking? Prince of Azkaban, what's his name? Sirius. Why did Sirius die? Seriously, like, honestly, like, really, I didn't see the need for that. I don't understand. Why did that broke me more than anything? Because Sirius, are you kidding me? Harry was, I was ready for Harry to be happy, to have a family member, like, that was his godfather. I was ready to, for him to be happy with his own family. It's all nice for him to be with other people's family and they treat him like family and whatnot, but at the end of the day, there's something about family, you know. I wanted him to be happy with Harry, Sirius, and then Fred. When Fred died, God, I can't even imagine what Percy, like, I can't imagine what Percy was going through in that moment. That is just heartbreaking. Number 14. You see, I usually find myself amongst strangers because I drift here and there, trying to forget the sad things that happened to me. Is it that your people that are not strangers are making you remember the sad? I need context. But this is F. Scott Fitzgerald from The Great Gatsby. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, now I get it. It's like needing silence and going into a room where music is being blasted. I get it. Number 15. People think being alone makes you lonely, but I don't think that's true. Being surrounded by the wrong people is the loneliest thing in the world. Preach! Sorry. Kim Combustion. The Liberation of Max Matru. This is... I don't need to talk about that, do I? You see, sometimes you feel like you're lonely and whatnot, and you feel like going out and being extroverted. Oh God, this is the life of an introvert. Sometimes I feel very depressed and sad and lonely, and I feel like, okay, maybe if I was out and about and people and whatnot, I would feel better. It just makes me feel worse, because you guys don't even, like, the extrovert people, I guess the wrong people, quote unquote, can't read my silence, can't understand my soul. So at the end of the day, I feel more lonely because of that, and it's just not good for my mental health. So I totally get you, Kim Combustion. The Liberation of Max True. And finally, the best thing he knew was to love just a little bit. So when they broke its back or shoved it in a croaker sack, well, maybe you'd have a little love left over for the next one. The best thing he knew was to love just a little bit. So when they broke its back or shoved it in a croaker sack, well, maybe he would have a little love left over for the next one. Toni Morrison, beloved. I don't have context, but this quote is quite sad for my own interpretation. You see, I used to hold back when it comes to love and everything. I don't know. Again, I grew up very defensive because of my own personal, like, circumstances of my childhood and whatnot. But I feel like somebody would be able to relate to me. I used to love holding back, you know. Nobody wants to feel stupid in love and be vulnerable and be all mushy and whatnot. I used to be all of those people that would be like, oh, I don't want him to know that I really like him. Oh, I'm so, I didn't want to be mushy. I still feel like it's cringe. But I was one of them people that would not give it all. I don't know. I feel like growing up just kind of, like, changed that about me, because I don't really regret the love I gave out. I just regret that it's to the wrong person. So now I'm more of a very I have so much love. I feel like it's from the not loving enough, you know, growing up. Like, not growing up, but like when I started having some, you people know what I'm saying. When I say relationships and whatnot, maybe it's from the love not properly loved. So it's like I have too much love to give. But the thing is, if I do like you, if I really like you genuinely, I am a giver. I actually need to be with somebody that says he can calm down, because I'm a giver. And I finally realized that it's not being vulnerable is not being weak, for some reason, I always attached it to weakness. I attached being vulnerable to you not being strong. Like, the biggest insult you could have ever insulted me when I was, like, younger was, oh, you're soft, oh, you're mushy, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. But when I grew up, I found out, like, yes, I'm soft, I am mushy, I am, see, you know when it says, look like a cinnamon roll will kill you? That's me, I am a cinnamon roll. But I don't know. I don't do that anymore. I don't feel like. If it's not reciprocated, I would leave. Don't get me twisted. Don't get me mistaken for a stupid girl. I'm not. I would bounce. Deleted and blocked like yesterday. I would. But like, honestly, I feel like now I'm just more. I want to love and be loved. Especially, I want to love. I don't like to have what ifs. I want to know that I gave it my all. Even if it didn't work out, I want to know that I put everything I could have into it. Because I won't forgive myself if I didn't, you know. And when I look back, honestly, I don't regret the love I gave somebody. I just regret that it's with that person. At the end of the day, that's just what it is. So this makes me sad because I don't know. I don't know why it's giving me animal. Maybe a dog. But if it's not, because I don't have context, if it's not, it makes me a bit sad. And it's quite sad, the quote, because, you know, not being able to love, you know, being so broken that you are holding back and already anticipating your next, you know, breakup and whatnot. And I know it's easier said than done, because I'm here trying to tell you people that you should love and be loved and let live and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I have so many wounds myself. Oh, I remember what I said I was going to tell you guys. So, you know how recently I've been talking about my chronic illness and being sick and whatnot. And honestly, I'm not going to lie that I don't have trauma and I do have some internalized. Like, I have actually internalized this. I know. That's why you should. I feel like that's why you should be careful what you say to somebody. And I sound like I'm adult and I'm healed, but honestly, I am not. And I feel like I believe this to a certain degree. Now, which is really funny because I've never ever seen it like that. I never saw it like that ever. So yeah, I do have a chronic illness, and a problem of that. In the last episode, I talked about being in a relationship, or I don't know if it's going to be the last episode or the episode after this. I think this episode is good enough for me to post immediately, so it'll probably be the next episode. Which, bear in mind, I recorded before this one. So yeah. In that episode, I talked about like the problems of being in a chronic illness, with the whole like being able to keep friendships and relationships and whatnot. You see, for me, my last relationship, this guy told me that I was a liability to him because of my chronic illness, and that, which is, I'm not going to say more than that, but you can just imagine how that went. And this is the reality of somebody in a chronic illness, you know, with a chronic illness. And even in friendships, like keeping to time, making appointments. We made a plan. I didn't make a plan, but I have a friend who is like, okay, Hikma, like, let's do this. And honestly, while a normal person would be like, okay, yeah, let me pencil that into my calendar, I can't, because who knows where I'll be by then. Who knows? How about that for a sad quote? But anyways, I'm so happy with this episode. I need to get ready. I need to eat and get ready because I'm traveling in a few hours. The rain is not letting go and I'm not about to drown in this place. So, I don't know. I hope that the rain doesn't continue like this while I travel back to Kaduna, because then I'll not be able to travel. And I have no choice. I have to travel because I have to go to court. But, I don't know what to think about it, but yeah. Anyways, you guys will hear from me in the next episode. And yeah, if you haven't read any of Lady Abuela's book, you should. It has a weird, you know, vibe to it. Very nice and very interesting, quite interesting as well. I have a lot of things to say about it, especially when it comes to my opinion from the view of a Muslim, black and white. I feel like sometimes we have this Arabian-influenced books that are written by Muslim or Islamically culturally inclined authors, and the way they write is a bit, you know. But anyways, I don't want to talk about that. It's a lot to unpack. I'll unpack in another episode. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'm definitely going to be coming back to read you guys permission. Let us be scared together.
Toodles.